If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow-wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Well, this is it, boys. Our last home and away edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. My name's Lauren Wood. I'm joined by Scott Gullen, John Anderson, and Michael Warner, as we are each and every week. And I notice a couple of caps among us this week, boys. It looks like isolation really is taking its toll. You needing a hairdresser as much as I am, Mick?
Yeah, I am. And look, I just couldn't believe that Geelong had one goal at three-quarter time. Is that the topic you want to talk about?
It's very early to bring that up.
We have got to unpack, of course, last week's great debate between you two of Geelong versus Richmond. Unfortunately, it didn't really shape up to be the heavyweight clash that we were hoping for. So we'll unpack that one a little bit later. I'll let Ando's feelings on that one maybe just marinate for about 10 minutes or so, and we'll get to exactly what went wrong for the Cats against Richmond. We've got a few big clubs to talk about this week. Who's going to make the finals? What happened with the Blues? And, of course, retirement season beginning, Scotty. But we've got to start with the Bombers. We were talking all things Woosher and Ben Rutten this time last week, but, geez, it's just gone to a new level.
It has. I mean, they're under siege, the Bombers.
Oh, boy.
Tom Bell Chambers is bailing out, so he's out, which is no great shock. He's retiring, and we're going to have a lot of them, obviously, in the next week or so. But the Joe Danaher hype has gone around again. I mean, there's clubs jumping out of the woodwork to get him, and a bit of pressure on Ben Rutten to show his face and say, I'm the man now, and let me speak.
Ando, what have you made of Woosher over the last week or two? We've heard it was an interesting press conference a few days ago with talk of Essendon people, a little shot at Matthew Lloyd along the way too. Sort of suggestion from Lloyd, he was that maybe he should have gone a year ago. What have you made of what he's had to say?
John Walsall doesn't change much. Well, he hasn't changed much in 30 years of watching him. He was impassive when he played football. He was the most cold, calculating, ruthless footballer I've ever seen, John Walsfeld. And, you know, a brilliant captain at age 21, 22, when he took the Eagles to a grand final and then a premiership year after and another one 2 years after that, then became a coach. And not many people have captained their side to a premiership and then coached that same team to a premiership. It might be two or three blokes in the history of the game. I know people who coached against John Walsfeld, who said they didn't find him necessarily that hard to coach against on match day. And probably that isn't as relevant as it used to be anyway, because coaches these days say you can't alter the game as much as you used to be able to. His strength has been during the week and been, I would have thought, really honest and consistent in his message. He's a remarkable character. You just see him sitting there on the bench, impassive, as I said before, clapping his hands occasionally, encouraging. Should he have gone the year before? Yes, he should have. That's not a criticism of John Walsfeld. I'm just never a rap for, once it's decided, don't hang around. It was like that silly idea that Mick Malthouse would stay as a senior assistant, if you like, or overlooking godfather figure to Nathan Buckley. You've got to, for Ben Rutten or for Nathan Buckley, whoever it is, they've got to stamp their own imprimatur and live and die by their own sword. So I've never been comfortable with that sort of situation. I think Mick and Scotty probably feel the same way.
When you got Cox, Kirk, Cousins, Judd, I reckon you'll go close to being a premiership coach. I found him a bit uninspiring, Ando. I've had a few, you know, briefings with him, and he was keeping his cards close to his chest. But I agree with Matthew Lloyd. I thought he stayed too long. There was a board meeting at Essendon last Friday night, which by all reports was quite eventful. And I think there will be significant change. We know that Paul Brasher, who is highly respected, will take over the club as president. He's a no-nonsense Acton sort of guy, Lindsay Tanner, goes. Did Lindsay Tanner actually speak during his tenure? I'm not sure.
No. I last heard him when he was Premier or something, wasn't he?
He was Finance Minister.
That's it. That's the last time I heard from Lindsay.
Federal Finance Minister. The other thing that intrigues me about Essendon is how they're trying to be Richmond. They sort of modelled themselves. They looked at Richmond, who was a big club that turned it around. And I think that that was a mistake. They need to be Essendon. You know, they went and hired all these Richmond people and they tried to become, do sort of model what happened. And I think they just need to get to back to being Essendon, which is a big, bad, arrogant football club.
It is funny how everyone brings up teams like Richmond and the Western Bulldogs. Like I heard Clarko saying it in his press conference a couple of weeks ago about, oh, yes, but, you know, we saw how bad things were for teams like them and look how quickly they turned it around. Like, it's almost like they've just set the benchmark now. But you're right, Mick. Like, you can't just follow exactly what they did as if it's going to be a formula that's going to work for everyone.
Your list sort of creates your game plan anyway, I think.
Richmond are Richmond because they've got five guns and the rest are role models and with a style of play. Tell me,
hang on. We're not going to go back over this.
No, but tell me, Essendon's going. Say they lose Danaher. Well, how can they build a game plan around Hurley's getting old? Like, it's just, you can't do it. It just makes no sense. Play to your strengths, figure out what they are. And theirs isn't Richmond.
No, they had their strengths. Half back flank, and they would attack.
Yeah, but that's gone. Again.
Why is it gone?
Well, they've lost the Irishman. They're probably going to lose Saad by the sound of it.
Oh God!
They're going to have no players left.
McGrath's got into the midfield, so that all that dash they had there, and they really Hooker and Hurley, who were so important for them, because you can build your spine around those sort of players with Danaher. Hooker's about finished, and what's Hurley 30? So maybe they've missed the opportunity where they have some good key position players. So that would be a worry. And Danaher, with Geelong been interested in Danaher. Geelong's been desperate to land someone knowing that Tom Hawkins won't be around for a long time. Maybe Tom Hawkins has formed this year so he might be around for two more years at least. Who knows? But they are still desperate to get someone. And who would you rather have, Jeremy Cameron or Joe Danaher right at the moment? Who would you, if they're both fit, who would you blokes pick and lost?
Jeremy Cameron by a mile.
Danaher by the length of the straight.
Oh!
You are joking.
Why?
Oh, Cameron's one of the most overrated, overpriced players in the comp. Danaher, if he's fit, we're saying. Is that what we're saying?
If he's fit, yeah.
Big if.
Oh, well, I'd take him and his upside, a lap of Flemington ahead of Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, I'd take him too. I agree with you on that.
He won the Coleman medal last year.
Oh, Michael, have you seen, there's a bloke running around in his number this year, but I'm not sure it's Jeremy.
No, but that might be part of a wider problem at GWS.
Well, you got to be above this, Michael, when you cross the white line.
Well, even the captain, Cornelio, I'm sure we'll get to, is not above it.
He's extraordinary, Stephen Cornelio. I mean, before he got injured last year, he was in the best two or three players.
Oh, yeah.
And they go right then. He was that good. How can he go from that to being dropped? Oh. And that club's really, really intrigued me.
He's got 7 years to go.
He wanted to be captain by himself. He wanted to be the man.
Have they made a few bad decisions? I think they have. When you replace Phil Davis and Callum Ward, who are, you know, two of the more respected players in the game, you get rid of both of them as your captain, you've got to be absolutely sure that the bloke coming in is going to be the right person.
Well,
and Stephen may still be that person, but right at the moment he's a fair way from it.
Didn't he have a blue with the footy manager? So the footy manager got the flick. I mean, he's wielded a bit of power, this Stephen Coniglio, and hasn't exactly gone well.
Who, Campbell? Wayne Campbell.
Well, Campbell left and the rumour was it was all because of a blue with Coniglio.
Mm. You just wonder, you go back on their side and you look at Loz, 2016 prelim final with the Bulldogs in that epic game where Clay Smith got his doggies into the grand final.
Oh,
yeah. And the 22 players represented GWS then, I'm confident the saying there's never been more talent on the park at one time than those 22 players, any side, any time. And their worst player was probably
Reece Palmer,
fair good call, who won a rising star, who wasn't a bad footballer.
He wasn't very good. Yeah, no, it's true.
And probably did Dawson Simpson maybe play in that game?
Did he?
Maybe not. I'm not sure. I think second ruckman. Mumford rucked and
well, they're unlucky when Callum Ward got knocked out cold that day.
There's no unlucky, Michael. No, but I better team.
It was the best
away in the epic preliminary final.
No, so what's happened? So what's happened?
What, Lauren, I'll tell you what's happened. The same thing that happened to Adelaide.
Oh,
they
boy.
They got their hearts broken and they've gone into a death spiral.
That's the Tiger effect.
But Mick, since then, they bravely got into a grand final last year and a couple of epic finals.
Oh, that was Collingwood choking like no man, Ando.
And Brisbane. Who else did they play?
Brisbane. In a really close way. They fell in against Brisbane.
And then played
a grand final with, you know, key players out, Lachie Whitfield having his appendix removed 3 days
fitness
beforehand, Phil Davis
before,
having a fitness
please.
Test while they were
yeah,
singing
no,
the national anthem.
We oh. get that, but plenty of us still thought they'd be there in the last
yeah, absolutely.
Four this year.
Totally.
Yes. So do you bring Canelio back? They're fighting amongst a few teams we'll talk about in a minute for their final spot. They're playing St Kilda Friday night, basically for a final spot. You've got to play your captain, don't you?
You have to. I mean, there's easily a spot for him. You sent the message. Hopefully it worked.
Hopefully, well, I say hopefully for their sake with sort of a footy. I don't really say hopefully, of course, because they are playing St Kilda for that final spot with, of course, the Western Bulldogs and Melbourne also in the mix. Who, Ando, misses out of that lot? Or I suppose who's the one that makes it?
Yeah, I think GWS and Melbourne miss out last, and the two sides that are in there at the moment, which are Western Bulldogs and Collingwood, stay in. If Collingwood loses to Port Adelaide, they most likely then go to Perth to play the West Coast Eagles. So which is a fairly significant game, 5th v 8th, because West Coast will finish 5th. But I think Western Bulldogs and Collingwood are the two sides that deserve to be in the 8th. They're better teams this year than Melbourne, who's lost to Adelaide and Sydney. And you lose to two of the sides are near the bottom. You don't deserve to be there. So I reckon Collingwood Western Bulldogs are two good sides. They can they're competitive coming into September into October.
Well,
into whatever
goalie.
Month it is, it all feels the same.
The goalie is an absolute freak. I mean, they could beat West Coast, Ando.
Oh yeah, no,
I don't think the goalie. Yeah, but the goalie's not.
Trelaw. You got
the goalie's. Not very tall. Was he about 6 foot in the old?
Yeah.
For him to do what he's done in his last two games, which are 5 goals against Geelong, match winner. They don't win that game without him. Yep. 4 goals last night. He handballed one in the goal square to my check. So effectively 5 goals in 2 games. He's won the games for them both. He's a rare player. There's not many footballers can win matches like that. But to do it all the time at that size is really, really difficult.
Mm.
And against the West Coast defence, good
They've got injuries, though.
No McGovern.
They've got serious injuries.
Yep.
Yo, Shuey, they're all iffy. It'd be interesting. I mean,
they're a bit of a wild card, I reckon.
The Bulldogs playing St Kilda somewhere in – that's like a bye for the Dogs. So we're very excited. That's who we play the next week.
Big course, good.
That's who we play the next week, Ando. That's what we've got to figure out our positioning for week 2. Well,
probably you'll be playing, you'd think Port Adelaide will host the final against Geelong and Brisbane will host the final against Richmond. So you'll play the loser of one of those two games. Who do you want to play?
St Kilda, if they finish 7th or 6th, do they choose either the Gabba or do they get a choice?
Yeah, so they'll have a choice between the Gabba, Metricon, and Adelaide Oval.
They'd have to finish 5th or 6th.
Sorry, 5th or 6th.
That's what I mean.
The home final, home sort of in quote marks there. Yeah, so they will get a choice, which is an interesting one. I reckon they'd almost choose Adelaide Oval, given the way that they played there about a month or two ago, which would just be, if you'd said at the start of the year that not only would St Kilda play a home final, but you'd fly there from the Gold Coast to Adelaide to play a home final.
From Noosa,
It seems bizarre. It absolutely seems bizarre. But, I think there's a definite watch on Jordan Dugowie. We might look at the sort of finals players to watch next week, because he's doing it sort of dusty style, isn't he, Mickey? He's timing his run beautifully
in the forward line,
and doing it under scrutiny too. He's sort of you know, he's come under, well, certainly not him, but, you know, the policies that surround him and affect him are finding him pretty front and square off the field too.
Yeah, well, we're still waiting for, I know Gil gave you a statement in a piece you did, but it didn't directly explain why, what their policy is around Degoe. So, yeah, there's
saying case by case, which is a sort of, it's an easy way to put it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Elijah Taylor's situation is different, obviously, than Jordan Degoe. So he's been bailed, hasn't he, from Southern?
He has, and stood down from Sydney.
Yeah,
stood down officially while we've been on this podcast, actually. Yep. Sydney have released a statement while we've been on here. So it's, no, it's certainly an area that's of much concern to the game. You would imagine that they review that policy each and every year, but no, certainly not not the stories that they want to be having on the edge of finals.
So Jordan Degoe is playing footy at the moment with that hanging over his head, which is scheduled for November?
October 30. Yeah, October, so a week 30. After the grand final.
After the grand final, and he doesn't have a manager and he's coming out of contract. So he's got, I know he's a very saleable commodity, Jordan, but you'd think at this stage he would need a manager more than ever before. So it's really intriguing that he hasn't gone down that path.
Did I see his link to Essendon, was he?
Oh. Yeah, his dad. Someone Essendon's trying to suck up to his dad or something.
Well, that'd be a good pick-up to the Bombers.
He won't be going to the Bombers.
Why would you leave Collingwood to go to Essendon?
Yeah, exactly. He's closer to a premiership where he is, and he actually likes Collingwood. My understanding is he will stay at Collingwood. He's virtually assured them that's the case, and he's very keen to stay there and win a premiership with that group. So, yeah, don't expect Jordan Degoe to go anywhere.
He's a million-dollar man, though, isn't he?
Yeah. Of course he is, but maybe you'll get something close to that at Collingwood.
Mm.
It's going to be an incredible trade period, just as an aside, I would think, because as you say there, Scotty, if they're trying to suck up to parents and managers, and last year we had players getting flown to Noosa and, you know, all these, but yeah, no one can do any of that anymore. It's kind of,
we don't have a salary cap. How can
that's the thing. There's no salary cap. No salary cap, just no list size, loss, and no ability to fly to Noosa.
Just on this, with one side's been in for Jack Viney, Brad Crouch, and Joe Danaher at Bean Geelong. Now,
How big's the salary cap down at Geelong?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's different down here.
Regional. They're in stage two. They're in
Geelong's a little bit like Hawthorn, and they've never paid massive overs for any player.
Yeah.
So the top price player, my understanding, when Patrick Dangerfield went there, he was around about 800,000, same as Joel Selwood, same as Tom Hawkins. Now, Harry Taylor's going to retire. Gary Ablett's going to retire. Mm-hmm. There's some room in the salary cap, but they can't get all three of those players, but presumably they're after two of them. If they get Joe Danaher, you're talking 800, because he's going to be able to get that somewhere else.
Needs petrol to get from Dalesford to Geelong too.
No, what it tells me...
It's longer than you think.
What it tells me is maybe there's some other big player at Geelong who's not playing next year. Who could that be? Where's Joel Selwood?
Joel Selwood.
The knee. Yeah, there's
with his body. Yes. I'm only talking about his body. I'm just talking. Can Joel physically? Well, I don't know that. No one suggests that to me. That's just an outsider looking in saying perhaps if they're going for an inside midfielder in Brad Crouch or Jack Viney, that's preparing for Joel. So Joel's not going to be there forever, obviously. Maybe it could be as soon as next year, given last year he had injury problems. Which were a mystery, and then Chris Scott said that he said he's had problems for the last 2 years. He plays the game with a ferocity very few ever played with. He's not a very big bloke. Maybe, don't know. Hope not.
No. Could be the case.
He'll need the cash because he's building a house just around from me down in God's country.
He finished it, Scotty.
Yeah, he's not allowed in it. Hasn't been in it yet.
Okay. No, but it has been completed, I'm told, in Bowen Heads.
Yeah, no, he'll need cash to survive down
here. You think
if
he'd played on Friday night, he would have moved the ball like a crab? I mean, seriously, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm thinking, are they actually trying to win this game? Or
I got a text message from a bloke who was once our chief football writer before Robbo took over, Mike Shear, and asking exactly the same question, saying, footy you know, when you see a game like that, you've got two sides that are joint premiership favourites before the game, and one of them has scored one goal on an oval that's 160 metres long before the quarter time.
It's in perfect conditions.
It's like Richmond's in their head, Ando. This is like timidest to start the game. It's just very odd. It's like, we'll just hold the fort because we know Richmond, but why don't you come out and go at Richmond? I mean, the result didn't really matter.
And, Scotty, when the ball got in there.
It mattered to Richmond.
When it did get in there, I mean. Dylan Grimes was able to get back on.
Oh, onto, I mean, Rowan helped out hurt them.
Rowan out helped because that kid didn't, you know, it's a big ask.
The kid played on Grimes. Oh, my God.
For Ben Jarvis, because Grimes said, mate, I'm not worried about you. I'm just going straight to Hawkins. And Geelong, if Rowan was playing, they go to Rowan a bit, I guess. But anyway, he wasn't playing, so that's just the way it is. Deal with it. Be interesting to see if they do play again. But I'm with you on that. I reckon Richmond at the moment has got Geelong's measure.
Oh, does it worry you, Ando, what you saw? Like they've sort of, as Scotty said, looks like they're in their heads. So you've sort of showed their hand a little bit. I know there were players missing, but
what worries me, Loz, if they keep playing that crap footy that Mick was just talking about. They start that in a final.
They can't.
You're only going to have one bloke. You know, I think it was Lachlan Fogarty. He's going to be a good young player, but he turned. You know, he just missed the target from 20 metres. A bloke in his own, kicked it over his head. Goal. Simple as that. You just can't do it. I mean, I don't get it.
But they get back Stanley, Ablett, Selwood, and Rowan. It's not bad.
Does Jack Stephen play?
Prestia, no. Edwards.
You lost Soldo, premiership ruck superstar.
Now that does hurt. No,
you lost Lynch, touch and go. He might play the first final.
Yeah,
but Geelong will be better. Don't. I wouldn't.
They'll never play like that slow movement again, will they? That 10-minute burst where they came late. That was. Why wouldn't you play like that?
Oh, it's just not it.
And then go into tempo when you need to.
Scary about the Tigers. They almost have the strut back, and even Jack Riewoldt's comments after the game sort of directed towards Mick Malthouse after his column in the Sunday Herald Sun. It's a little bit scary, isn't it, Scotty? They've got the swagger.
Jack doing that was the most telling, compelling part of the game. He played like was 5 years ago. He
pointing, marking.
Yeah, leaping, getting off the ground again, and one grabs and he looked a different player. And that was the scary part for every other side in the finals, I would have thought.
Well, he's kicked 26 goals now. He's only 15 off the Coleman lead. So he's come, you know what I mean? Like he's had David King and these guys were saying he was cactus, but
he's got a couple of years left in him. I can't believe they want him retired off as well.
Mm.
Ridiculous.
Oh, he'll be a new man. Family out of quarantine today, I believe. Of course, the grandparents up there too. So they'll all be. Yeah, he'll be a new man.
We won't hear of Sammy Landsberger for days now.
What's with Tom Lynch? Loz, I know you've interviewed Tom Lynch. I don't know him. One of my kids just served him a couple of times in a pub and reckons he was a nice bloke, very quiet. What's his go on the footy field? He's just in blues all the time.
He's a different man, isn't he?
He doesn't suffer fools, Ando.
Definitely
what,
not.
He may not. He actually looks the fool to me, Mick, the way he carries on. But anyway,
scoreboard.
Yeah, no, you've got the last laugh with that. But I just don't. He seems every time he plays, he's the subject of some sort of niggle or blue.
Well,
or push
teams
or shove
know
or
that they can do it now, don't they? Like they've seen it happen all year, and they almost know that. Hey, if we go after him a little bit, he might snap.
He might kick four.
He also might kick six. That's the worry. Hey, what about from a spectacle point of view? Ando's mentioned the scoring a couple of times from Geelong, just, you know, the one goal in a half of footy. We've had news since we last caught up about the time for the grand final, so 7:30, a fully full nighttime experience at the Gabba. I know Gil was asked about the dew. By our very own Sam Landsberger, Scotty, when he was announcing the potential for a night grand final. And he almost had a bit of a smirk when he was asked about the dew factor. But does it make you worry about the spectacle?
Don't the Queenslanders tell you because in 6 weeks it's hotter and it's something to do with the atmospheric pressure, it won't be as dewy in mid-October?
That's the argument. Alleged dew removal.
It was last night. their core product, the AFL, is not actually football, funnily enough. It's making money. So they would have no idea. But they didn't really have a choice this year because of the spring racing carnival. So I'm not dying in a ditch over a night grand final this year, but I tell you what, I will be next year, and so will millions of Australians. They want to destroy one of the greatest days in the Australian cultural calendar. They have no idea what they're in for there.
So you reckon, Mick, the protest in, if you get all that crew who jumps onto any protest that's going around, you can lead them.
No, I can't.
Docklands next year. Get that big bloke.
Let's run the Melbourne Cup at 10 o'clock at night as well, so we can make money and people can gamble their lives away. Fantastic. No, but back to your point about scoring. One of the things that's lost is red time scoring, where you these crappy teams hang in for 16 minutes. In fact, I watch games and I think, oh, we can hang on here because there's only 15 minutes to go in the quarter. Like, let the game breathe. 20 minutes time on, that's where you can put the foot to the floor and late in a quarter and kick four goals.
What's the reason for not having
it? Oh, because it's not fair because it started the year this way. I mean, we're not in high school, are we? Couldn't we just say, right, finals is legit. We're back to legit. We got all those games through. The whole reason we had these small games, we're having a bye before the finals, for God's sake.
What do the players want? What do the public want? What do the people who buy memberships for clubs want?
I think players would prefer in finals, when you're playing for your life, to have a bit more time.
Yeah, of course they do.
You speak to them, they're like, oh, I come off for one change. I look up and it's, you know, 15 minutes. I've got to wait 2 minutes to play.
Yeah.
And the public, almost to a person.
Well, they want more of the product.
Yeah.
Even the TV networks want it longer.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, the TV networks, given it's a Channel 7 product, the grand final, I think anything that's low scoring, they wouldn't be loving either, would they? Because they only play ads after goals.
Oh, and then Steve, Tim Warner said before he left 7 that the 30 seconds in between a goal for the ad was the most valuable real estate in Australian TV, and they wanted more goals. So
that's right,
Hocking brought in 666 and all these things to increase score. Now, admittedly, it's COVID. You can't really look at this year. But last year when they brought it in, it went down. So, you know, in a real world, Steve Hocking would be under enormous pressure if I was running the AFL.
if Michael Warner's running the AFL, Gil McLaughlin being a soup key somewhere for starters.
He's what he said would happen hasn't happened with scoring because he refuses to look at interchange. It's ridiculous.
Well, and it's unfortunate. No, I'm with you on that. And unfortunately, it's been extended by a year because of the circumstances. So next year, it's going to be a very, very different world. But it's going to be a very different world. Because footy clubs are going to be, you look what's happened to the Bulldogs. If Dale Morris gets let go by a club, and he's probably the most loved player there in the last 40 years or something.
He was there for like 1 minute and gone.
1 minute with Joel Corey and Ben Graham, who are, you know, really popular blokes as well. It just tells these clubs are really, really hurting, aren't they?
What about the 28 round story that they floated through one of their carrier pitches? I mean, seriously. Are we going to have 28 rounds of 16-minute quarters? As Terry Wallace would say, we'll spew up.
Yeah, no, we'll just revert back to normal next year, gentlemen. Thank you. Well done.
It was a strange one, wasn't it? Because that emerged about sort of 6:30. And then suddenly by the next day, everyone's sort of tweeting saying, oh, no, I've had it confirmed. There is absolutely no way this is happening.
Carrier pigeon got it wrong.
Bizarre. Anyway.
Carrier pigeon just put it up there. Following instructions.
Very. Hey, if you were working at the AFL, Mick, before we get to the retirement, how many people would you have working there out of interest after your few days of stories late last week?
200. 250.
From 800 to 250.
You're a man of efficiency. We know that. You're all about the efficiency. Hey, you say the game's going to look incredibly different next year and footy departments and a few playing lists. Well, two boys. We've had Tom Bell Chambers has announced this morning he's hanging up the boots. We had Ben Stratton and Paul Puopolo yesterday. As we've been on this podcast, we've had confirmation that Cade Simpson this weekend will be his last game. It's sort of it's always the week for it Scotty. But I've got to say, the Stratton one caught me by surprise.
You know, that's – I knew he wasn't going as well as he could. I mean, they were struggling. He's a bit of a different unit, so I hope it was him sort of saying walking away more than them. But, yeah, I mean, I would have thought a tallish defender, he didn't look like he was completely shot. So he surprised me. Pioppolo, I think, got an extra 12 months and good on him. Cade Simpson, as Ando has said months ago, he was ahead of the game on this. It makes sense. Great career. But there's going to be some who are going to get assisted out the door in the next couple of weeks, isn't there?
Who do you reckon, Ando, Hawthorn's next cap? Not often we see a captain step down at 31 as Ben Stratton did on Monday. Who's next in line for them? Because a few of their more senior players, they're out of contract too.
Interesting. Well, when Ben Stratton got it, he was probably, to us at the time, an unlikely choice, not from within. I would imagine he beat Isaac Smith, Jack Gunston. But, you know, James Sicily, he is someone who's grown so much and he's just about almost their best player, probably is. But now he's out for the year with an ACL. So I don't think you can make the next captain someone who's not going to play that year. I would think Jack Gunston is my guess.
No.
Jack, you know, holds himself really well and he's got the score on the board. So I don't know if there's anyone else. You know,
Amira up. They could look at just for the face of the club, yeah, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Tom Mitchell. Yep. Ben Stratton was one of the most underrated players. He fell away. I don't know what happened to Ben, but in his prime, he was as brave as gun. He was a gun, Scotty, in those premiership years.
And no, he played a crucial role, Mike.
I don't know what happened to him, whether it was the burden of the captaincy or just playing in a
pinching
period team.
The pinching
got him.
But yeah, all that. It was because do you remember how good he was? I mean, he was.
Yeah, I think. But when they became a bad team, it became a lot harder for him in his role.
Yeah, so I think, as I say, it is the week for it. So we wish all
no
those guys...
No motorcade this year, though.
No motorcade. It might be a Zoom motorcade in the sort of...
if they can
make one out of cardboard with the string over the shoulders like you do for kids and sort of go around their lounge room maybe on the Zoom. But unfortunate for them that they won't get a proper send-off on grand final day, but... obviously going to play their final games for their clubs this weekend. So obviously wish them all the best and we'll keep you updated on all of the retirements and delistings at the Herald Sun website. But one man who keeps us across all of the movers and shakers, particularly off the field, is our very own Scott Gullen in the Bowen Heads Hub with the super score. The Whisper has been on fire the last week or so, as it has been all season, and he always brings one for us here on the podcast. So where are we headed?
Well, this could be the last finale for the Hub because it's been so good to me. So I thought they escaped from detention today, I think. So one last one from the Hub. I'm told in the quarantine there was sort of a little oval, which we've seen, you know, Gaz and all them training. And naturally, journos still think they're, you know, Geelong amateur greats like Michael Warner.
Not or, Barrett.
Or old Geelong.
Barrett
so
they,
everyone was having a kick to kick, and Gillon McLaughlin, who is a former Uni Blues, not Uni Blacks, it's disappointing, Uni Blues ruckman of note, this particular journo was going to have a shot, a Eddie Betts-style banana from the boundary, and he goes, all right, 2 grand final tickets if you make it. And lo and behold, said journo, kicks it. And I've seen the video, and it's been confirmed to me, so...
That sounds like a Steve-O time to me.
No, Steve-O couldn't execute that sort of skill. God love him. But no,
like
this journo...
That doctored footage of Hutchie in the game kicking that goal out. I mean, that's like the moon landing. That's actually fake footage.
Anyway, one journo scored a couple of tickets when he kicked the banana that impressed Gillon.
So they're just giving grand final tickets away, are they? Okay.
They are now, Michael, for such acts.
Gillon McLaughlin, who was captain of Victorian state amateur side, but was unable
played
to
for
play
the wrong uni
because,
team, Mando,
because of injury. Who was his vice captain who took over the captaincy?
Yeah, it was his running mate, Leslie.
Simon Leslie.
Yeah, it was Leslie, yeah.
But Gillon made sure he got into the into the photo before he did his injury, so he'd be still the captain, and his mate wouldn't get the seat next to his name.
That sounds very good. That is magic. Absolutely
what,
magic.
What a coincidence that they ended up at the AFL together.
I know. It's a shock.
Hey, Scotty, just before we get going, before we head into finals for the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, it would be remiss of us not to mention your time on Media Street this week. Of course,
yes.
I settled in on Sunday night. I'd been counting down to the Cathy Freeman documentary for about a month. I'm a big Cathy fan and was very, very fixated on that one. Settled in with my hot chocolate on Sunday night, and lo and behold, within a minute, it comes up on my screen and he's Scott Gullen.
Yes, Loz. I remember doing the interview last year at some point. I don't remember saying all that stuff. And then I'd been sent a sneak peek. So I saw it a little bit. I thought, oh, yeah, don't show my head. So that's positive. I didn't realise it was going to feature that much, let's be honest. But very interesting.
Oh, I'm disappointed they didn't show you. You should have worn a Herald Sun Footy Podcast T-shirt if they were going to show you.
What about the revelation that you had another version of Cathy losing the race, ready to send to, because you're on deadline?
Yeah.
It reminded me of the 2012 grand final where you didn't have any version.
Is that the Sydney Swans event, Mike? Do you have to bring that up every podcast? I got to go and find that kit cutting and produce it next week. We were on deadline. Like the race was, you know, whatever time it was, 9 o'clock, 8, 10 o'clock at night. So yeah, I had to have she wins, she loses ready to go. And
you knew you didn't need the other one.
Oh, you never know, Michael. Funny things happen in sport. You know, Richmond loses.
Well, yeah, Geelong. I guess Geelong last Friday showed that.
Yeah, yeah. But no, yeah, very funny, Loz. The phone started beeping. Like, oh,
no. Oh, it would have. Oh, I'm just pleased. What we've got one of our own. It's there for posterity. You're a part of history forever now, and we can say we once knew you when you forget about us.
You can go through my agent from now on for this.
Well, maybe we might leave it there because it sounds like we've got some negotiating to do with Scotty's agent just to make sure that he's back and joining us for next week. But we'll be back, boys, same time next Tuesday for, of course, the bye week Herald Sun Footy Podcast, looking ahead to all things finals. We'll have a final eight locked in by then, so we'll unpack all of the top eight chances ahead of the final series. We'll be across it at heraldsun.com.au and in the paper every day. So we'll see you next week.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.